Turn to Romans chapter 11. We've been in Romans chapter 11 for at least a month because I haven't been here a lot. We have completed the first 10 verses, and we're going to start with verse 11 this morning for the study, but I want to go back to verse 7 and start reading from there. To start the lesson, kind of tie everything together, because I'm sure everybody's forgot what we talked about earlier by now. Anyway, Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. And let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. In verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fail? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, verse 11's got quite a few things in it here. It says, I say then, have they stumbled, they should fall. And God's chosen people are not going to utterly fall. They are still going to be recipients of a portion of grace. And they will not be utterly cast out. Anyway, verses 1 through 3 of chapter 11, it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, and a seed of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith to Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digs down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. So, they will not be utterly cast down. It's all, we've already read this up in the first three verses here of the same chapter. And he goes on to say, God forbid, God will not permit this to happen. God is in control, God is in charge. And his purpose will always be accomplished. And he has an earthly chosen people. He also has a spiritual chosen people. And in many instances, these two are the same. But anyway, he will not utterly cast out his people. And then further on, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for this very purpose. Because the Jews didn't want what God was providing. He sent a Messiah. He sent his son. And what did the Jews do? They rebelled. They didn't want anything to do with him. And I know we say, well, if you look at the miracles that he did, if you look at the preaching, the teaching from God's word that he did, they had to know. But no. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that it's spiritually discerned. God's word is spiritually discerned, and if the Holy Spirit doesn't enable you, you're not going to understand. And they didn't understand, but it was for a purpose. For the purpose that salvation is come unto the Gentiles. That's me and you. So, we have that to be thankful for their downfall in one respect. We get lifted up. And it goes on for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, there is nothing in the rule book that says that God can't use a given situation to show, they look at us, and right now, they might not want what we have. But there's coming a time, and we'll get to that here just in a little bit, when they're going to want it. A whole gob of them are going to want it. He used this to provide salvation to the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles were saved prior to this point. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But this is primarily Gentiles now. During this age, there's coming a time when it's going to be primarily the Jews again, or totally the Jews maybe even. I'm not sure about that. I haven't really studied that out. I know there are going to be some Gentiles saved, but at some point in time, I don't know. God's earthly chosen people are going to be saved. And this is to provoke them to jealousy. They will want what we have. They will want what we have, and that is fellowship with the Lord. Anyway, verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, we've been studying mostly in Romans about the Jews. And now this is talking about the Gentiles. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, okay, because of their falling away, not utterly fall or anything like that, but because of their falling away, they've become the riches of us. We are considered the world throughout the Bible. Gentiles are often referred to as the world. And Brother Gill uses John 3:16 as one of the times where he's talking about the Gentiles. I don't know if I agree with that totally, but anyway, it goes on. And the diminishing of them, of the Jews, the diminishing of the Jews, the riches of the Gentiles. As they are diminished because of their own actions, then we are lifted up, so to speak. We are given the riches of God's grace. Can you think of anything else that you would want more than that, to know Jesus as Savior? There's nothing here on this earth can compare. And it's because the Jews rejected him that we are in a position. Yeah, I know God's election, predestination, we were chosen before the foundation of the world and all that, but all this was planned. All this was planned that the Jews would reject, and because of that, and we'll get to a little bit more of that later on too. How much more their fullness? Their fullness. Now, what? Who is this talking about? Gentiles? No. No, there's coming a time. And we're not there yet. I don't think it's that much farther off. When their fullness, the Jews' fullness, their time, I'll put it that way, is going to be even greater than the time of the Gentiles now. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles. Now, we read earlier in the book here, God was speaking, well, even in this chapter, God was speaking to the Jews. And now he says, I speak to you Gentiles. And I said, God is speaking to you. Well, the Apostle Paul, right? No, these are God's word that was given to Paul to write. So these are the words of God. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Well, he's talking really to the church at Rome, and the church at Rome had both Jews and Gentiles. So, in one respect, yeah, he's talking to the Gentiles, but in another respect, he's talking to the church. And we can apply this to our own lives here, that, yeah, he's speaking to the Gentiles in this particular instance, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Now, Paul was specifically called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, yet not the Gentiles alone. He was not called to preach especially to the Jews, but he did a lot of preaching to the Jews. And then we'll see in Acts chapter 9, and verse 15. Well, there. No, I still not. I am missing it somehow or another. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, now this is talking to Ananias, he said, go thy way, or go where I'm telling you to go, for he, meaning Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So although he was called especially to the Gentiles, I mean, you know, when if we're a child of God, we're called to preach the word to whoever. We have opportunity, and sometimes maybe we need to make an opportunity. If we think that one doesn't exist, I don't believe that that's true. But anyway, he says that he's going to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So he's not leaving anybody out here. Specifically to the Gentiles, yes. But also to the greatest, the kings, the Gentiles, the Jews, whoever. And he goes on and says, I magnify mine office. Now, 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to spoil your study. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. Now, Paul says, I magnify mine office. But this is what Paul says of himself. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He understands what his position is and how he got to be that way. It was God's purpose. All God, and he knows this because he said, I persecuted the church. I'm not worthy. And he goes on in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. God can make you, I won't say a great orator or anything like that, but he can make you a profitable servant. And we need to try to be that way, you know. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It didn't fall on deaf ears, you know. Now, I don't understand how Paul could even consider not understanding what happened when he was on the road to Damascus there, and And Jesus came to him, and he was pretty clear. He was pretty clear. He let him know who he was and what he needed to do. But I labored more abundantly than they all. And if you look through the New Testament, I mean, who wrote a lot of these books? Paul, and he made journeys to different places and started churches and stuff, but then he goes on, you know, well, maybe he was tooting his horn a little bit here. No. He says, yet not I. I didn't do it. But the grace of God which was with me, God's grace. If we are able to accomplish anything, we need to give God the glory in everything. Not just the great big things. What might be a small thing to us might be a big thing to somebody else. Anyway, Paul did not actually magnify his office. He was saying, you know, well, yeah, I'm an apostle, but I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I was called to preach to the Gentiles, but I was also called to preach to kings, and I was called to preach to the Jews. Verse 14, if by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. So we're getting back to the Jews here, ain't we? Paul was a Jew. If by any means I might provoke to emulation. What's that mean? Well, they will try to copy what the Gentiles are doing, what they are having, those that are saved. And provoke to emulation. We want what they have. And them which are my flesh, meaning the Jews, and might save some of them. Now, earlier on, verse 5 of Romans chapter 11, he says, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So even though the Jews have fallen away from God's favor out to a certain extent here, there's still a remnant. There's still a remnant. Now, Paul is not saying here that he can save anybody, but that might save some of them. Now, God's word is the one, is the thing. You know, if we need to be able to preach the word, to teach people what God says, what his word says. And so many times we get tongue-tied and we don't know what to say. Well, don't worry about that. You know, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. But at the same token, we're supposed to study. What does the Bible say? Study to show thyself approved. Verse 15, for if the casting away of them be reconciling of the world, again, talking about the Gentiles here where it says world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now, casting away of them. Now, did God actually cast them away? After a fashion, yeah, but they're still his chosen earthly people. And because of that, we are reconciled to God. And because of their casting away, we are reconciled to God. And what shall the receiving of them be? In other words, when they receive the word, when they receive Christ, boy, it's like life from the dead. Now, we all know that we were born dead. You know, wasn't one of us worthy of salvation in any respect. But these here, these were God's chosen people, and because of their rejection and disobedience, they were set aside for a while. But the time's coming where it says, what shall the receiving of them be? When they receive God's word, when they understand, the Holy Spirit gives them understanding and faith. And it says, but what shall it be but life from the dead? You're going to turn them around. Verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now, we're going to get into some, what do they call that, where you work on trees and stuff, husbandry or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, it says if the first fruit be holy, you start off with the roots. When you plant a seed or whatever, or maybe you get a plant, and some things you plant as plants, some things you plant as seeds, but it all comes from the seed, right? Anyway, it says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. A holy plant is going to deliver holy fruit. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So, what does this mean? The branches coming from the root, and we're talking about God here. The things that of God are going to be holy. Verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off. Now, this is talking about the Jews again. And it doesn't mean they fell off under their own power. I mean, they were cut off. And thou, being a wild olive tree, were we ever wild? Were grafted in among them, the limbs that were still there, the remnant, as we talked about earlier. We're grafted in among them. And with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So, because they were cut off, we could be grafted in. That's one thing you have to do when you're going to graft something in. I don't know how much y'all know about apple trees, but apple trees aren't normally planted straight from an apple tree. They'll take a small apple tree and they'll cut it, and they'll graft another piece onto it. And that's how they come up with delicious apples. Some apples are bitter. Johnny Appleseed, y'all have heard about him, how he went around planting apples and stuff like that. Well, a lot of Johnny Appleseed's apples were practically unedible, from what I understand, anyway. I wasn't alive when Johnny Appleseed was there. I was close, but, not quite that old. But apples are grafted on. The top of the tree is attached to the roots, and that's how you get the good apples. But grafting on, and that's how we get to be grafted on, too. They had to cut some branches off that me might be grafted on. And because of that, we are partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. We get blessings because they lost theirs. Verse 18, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Okay, you got to remember who you are. It's not because of anything good you've done that you're grafted into the tree. And you don't keep the root alive. The root keeps you alive. We need to understand that God is the one that where all of our blessings come from. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And you would be right. You would be right. But, verse 20, you're doing well if you think of this. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and now standest by faith. In other words, you're there because you were given faith. The Holy Spirit worked in your life and made you able to believe. He says, be not high-minded, but fear. We can't think, well, you know, I was a good branch, and therefore he put me in. I was a dead branch, and he gave me life. He grafted me unto the root, and because of the root, then I have life. And I can't be high-minded. I can't say, well, look at me. I'm part of the tree. Well, yeah, I'm part of the tree, but it's because of him. Be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. We could be cut off too. We need to understand, and I'll tell you, the way our country is going, I don't know how we can receive any blessings. And I think because of the remnant of God's children that are in this country is the only thing that is keeping God's judgment at bay. I think there's coming a time, and it's going to be here soon, when we're going to go home. And things are going to go downhill really bad. People might think that, you know, right now things are bad and there's travail everywhere you look and crime and evil is looked at as being good. This is all foretold. This is all foretold. And anyway, we're going to have to stop there, but hopefully we'll start. I want to start with verse 21 again next Sunday, Lord willing. Anyway, y'all stick around. Pastor is going to have a great message in about 5 minutes or so.